there are some things that I just don't understand really well, especially words, things that come up. I guess the Super Bowl, one of the things that I had not understood was this whole thing of the quarterback stands behind the center, and all of a sudden you hear him saying, hup one, hup two. And at a certain point, the quarterback gets the ball and it starts the play. And there was an article that actually tried to explain that to us, or at least it talked about it. It came from the New York Times. And in light of the Super Bowl, there's a discussion about that one critical word of the game, football. It keeps enduring. An article of the New York Times pondered it and keeps it, and why it keeps hanging around. It is easy, the most audible word in football, a throaty grunt that may be the sport's most distinguishing sound. It sounds almost like, it starts almost every play, and often it is, and often one is not enough, and they increase the complexity of the game. This signal drift, signal calling, is evaluated, has evolved into a cacophony of code words. Black dirt, black big belly, X wiggle, hut, 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 endures the signal and to move, but why? Most football players have no idea. The pro game center said, I guess it's because it's better than yelling, now go. Some people have used go, and that's awful. It doesn't sound like football. A former quarterback reckons that he shouted hut at least more than 10,000 times during his 50 years, and had, or 55 years of football, and had no idea why. The article conjectures that hut may come out of the military background. Out of the military background of many pro players, but it's just a guess. Possibly preaching angels, Bible. I'm sorry, it's just a guess, and that ends the article. Transfiguration is kind of that way. It's a word that we read about and we hear, and especially, of course, Transfiguration Sunday. We know that Jesus took three disciples with him up onto a mountain, and that's hard for me to believe because I'm from Colorado, and mountains in Colorado are one thing, and I just haven't seen mountains like that in Jerusalem. I assume that they were high places, but it takes them up there, and they reach a point, and they see Elijah, and they see Moses standing there talking to Jesus. And Jesus suddenly radiates. He radiates with light. He radiates with beauty. He radiates with more powerfully than a lightning, if you will. And they say, well, gosh, Jesus must be the perfect prophet, just like Elijah and Moses. We'll build three booths here, and we can start the church right here. And he can sit here with Elijah and Moses, and we'll bring everybody to them, and this is the place that we can do that. Almost seems that way to me. But this idea of that transfiguration, is that happening to Jesus? And I guess what I would like to say today is that I don't think it only happens to Jesus. This idea of glowing, this idea of a what a just almost like lightning and seeing it, this idea of being transfigured. Now, the Greek for it actually translates out that you would be changed. And certainly we see Jesus kind of changes after he is transfigured. His ministry changes a bit, if we really look at it. And this whole idea of morphing into something else. It's got think about that, and I guess one of the first thing that comes to mind is the a witch turning a prince into a frog. Changes him into something else. But for Jesus, it changed him into something else at that point. And it's hard for us to really get a handle on that unless we think about it from our terms. Have we been transfigured? I want you to go back and think about when you first accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want you to think about how you felt. I want you to think about how you were changed from what you were before. In my denomination, we have altar calls. We invite people who have not accepted Jesus Christ to come forward. And I can tell you that I've seen it so often in their faces, they seem to glow. You can almost see the change taking place in them. Anybody see Sergeant York? Okay, Sergeant York, his mother prayed that he'd become a Christian. The pastor came and talked to him about becoming a Christian. And York said, "Oh, I'd like to be a Christian, but I'll tell you, the devil's just got me, and I'm over here, and I'm sure I'm going to stay there." And one night he's riding his mule through the rain, and lightning strikes, knocks his mule down, knocks him off of it. His rifle gets bent, and he sits up, and he hears them singing in church. Old-time church up in the hills. And the next thing you see is him standing at the door, and he's walking forward. And he plays the part so well that you can see the change. There's a change that comes over him. And I think it's kind of like that for us. I think back to 35 years ago when I really accepted Jesus Christ. And the change that came over me. Suddenly there was a difference. I accept you, Jesus Christ. I accept the Spirit upon me. The Spirit's upon me. And I accept the gifts that you give me. I accept that you call me to carry a cross also. I accept that you call me to be a Christian and be visible and let others see that glow about me. I am transfigured because I am now part of Christ and his body and his blood. It's shed for me so that I can be saved, so that I can know the difference in the world, so that I can walk in the world in Jesus' name with the Holy Spirit upon my heart, upon my brain, and I can be different, and I know that it's because of the love of God sending him for me. He was transfigured. This is my son. Listen to him. We are transfigured. We are now his sons and daughters. Listen to him. Listen to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. That change that takes place in us can be seen. Have you noticed that when you do something for someone, how differently you feel when you say, "Oh, Christ wants me to say hello to this person. Christ wants me to do this. I'm taking on that cross of Christ and carrying that cross. And he's going to take the load. All I have to do is be here for him, in him, doing his will." There's a fella that I knew that every day would come to work, and there were a couple of homeless people. We called them bums back then. They were definitely not the type of people that we really associate with, but he came to work every day, and he brought four sandwiches, two for each of them. Every day he gave it to them. And people ridiculed him. They said, "What are you doing? I mean, you're giving them sandwiches? What are you getting out of that? How are you helping them? You're not helping them to stand up and grow." He said, "I feel called to do it. It's Jesus saying to me that this is a ministry I call you to. I call you to do that." Remember back, I think it was I can't remember how far back it goes, but, people used to keep a Bible on their desk at work. Christians. And it was a visible sign that it was there. And when people would ask them, well, what about the Bible? And you'd see them glow. This is the Word of God. This is about my Savior. It's about me. It's about the Spirit upon me. It's that transfiguring thing that happens. And you can witness that way. Now today, in most offices, you're not allowed to have a Bible on your desk. In fact, I've shared that when both at Tidewell and at Davao, I was not allowed to carry to have a cross. I was not allowed to have any visible symbols on me. And we are in that state here in this country, but we're starting to see it turn around. And if we can be that visible symbol, that transfiguring look to us. Is that right? Look, that transfiguring spirit around us as children of God that people can see just by looking into our eyes, just by feeling our touch, just by hearing our voice. And that's who we are. This Sunday is not only to celebrate the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, it's for us to celebrate our transfiguration through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, being called to the Word of God, and to bring that Word into the world. Not necessarily standing on a street corner pounding a Bible, but by reaching out to people so that they know that they are not alone. Think about the loneliness of the people that have not accepted Jesus Christ, don't have a Savior, that, okay, when I die, that's the end. Therefore, I need to do everything I can, kind of like Fat Tuesday. I get my sinning out of the way so that on Wednesday I can go and get my ashes. It's a joy that is in us and shows up around us so that we can reach out to people who haven't received it and take their hand and let them know that they can receive it. All they have to do is accept it. All they have to do is accept the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And they will be changed too. And they will be called to. And they will know the love of God. Can you imagine the transfiguration that took place on Pentecost, if what I say is true? Wait for me. The Spirit will come upon you. And it came upon them in a whirlwind, in fire, with dove, and they walk out and they convert. How many people accepted Jesus Christ that day? I mean, the whole city probably glowed for a week, right? It was like a light comes on. And we are that light. And that light within us informs us and informs the world that we will not go away, that we will not stop talking about it, that we will certainly help people who need help, but we will help them because Christ calls us to, not because of anything else. Somebody asked me, what would you do if you didn't get paid doing what you do? This is in hospice. I said, well, you know, for 30 years I've had paid positions. I've not had paid positions, but I've always done it because that's where the Spirit leads me. Glow in Christ. Take your transfiguration and see what the Spirit would have you do. Find out how you can make the changes in the world. And I guess that's almost a contradictory statement, because if we have it, we do it. We don't need to search for it. We need to just let the Spirit lead us. And in that, there's hope and love and joy. In that, we stand up tall as a light into the world. Think about how many times Jesus has said, you're a light in the world. You don't take and put it under the basket. You have to be out in the open. Just think about all those things Jesus said. We're transfigured. We celebrate Jesus' transfiguration. We celebrate our own. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, there are things we don't understand, like how much power you have. But Lord, we know that your power makes us different, and that your love makes us whole, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, has given us salvation, that your Spirit is within us, that we might be a light to the world. We give thanks for all that you do for us, all that you create in us, and all that you call us to do. And Lord, we give thanks for that cross that you have in us carrying, so that we might minister to the world and help the world to know your Son, Jesus Christ. We do this in his name.